Well, war and the reporting of it has been one of the most challenging tasks since William Russell filed his first dispatches for the Times about Lord Raglan at Balaclava. But even in these days of satellite uplinks and 24/7 news cycles, some war reporting still has the quality to chill the bones or raise the hairs on the back of your neck.
I have just returned from the Belsen concentration camp, where for 2 hours I drove slowly about the place in a jeep with the chief doctor of Second Army. I find it hard to describe adequately the horrible things that I've seen and heard. I passed through the barrier and found myself in the world of a nightmare.
8:50 on the morning of the final American departure. The last Americans left the embassy complex about 25 minutes ago, and the fate of the embassy is very clear. It's now being systematically looted from floor to floor, and part of the building has been set on fire.
I'm not allowed to say how many planes joined the raid, but I counted them all out, and I counted them all back. Their pilots were unhurt, cheerful and jubilant, giving thumbs-up signs. One plane had a single bullet hole through the tail. It's already been repaired.
They came upon a house in the centre of the village where a family of seven had died. Two in the stairway, another five in the cellar.
What happened here can frankly not be shown in any detail, but the room is full of the charred remains of bodies, and they died in the greatest agony. It's hard to imagine, in our continent and in our time, what kind of people could do this.
55 years of hatred and rage as they jump up on the statue, trouncing it, it's licking their shoes off, they're smashing it to pieces, they're paving their fists in the air, they're chanting death to Saddam.
Reports there from Belsen, Saigon, the Falklands, Bosnia and Iraq. Well, now, Britain's first major exhibition about war reporting has opened at the Imperial War Museum North in Manchester. Amongst other things, it explores the dangers, dramas and difficulties of the job. Well, BBC World Affairs producer, former BBC Wales journalist Stuart Hughes has been to see it because he features in it. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Vaughan. Good to talk to you again.
And to you. People will remember you were injured. You lost part of a leg in Iraq. How does that feature in the exhibition?
There is a section of the exhibition which covers war reporting from the First World War to the present day. And a section of that exhibition talks about safety and the way we keep ourselves safe, the way we try to keep ourselves safe in war zones. And so there are exhibits such as an armoured car used by the news agency Reuters in the Middle East. There's a flak jacket worn by Kate Adie, and my leg, which is a reminder that although we do all we can to keep ourselves safe, sometimes things do go wrong. And in my case, I lost my leg to a landmine in northern Iraq while working for the BBC. And my leg, one of my first artificial legs, I would say it's an artificial one, not the real one, that's there as a reminder to people that reporting war is a risky business, and it does sometimes, unfortunately, have a human cost.
What does it feel like to see that, though?
It's a very strange experience to see my leg in a glass case. The way it came about was one of my former editors, who was a consultant on the project, I was out for a drink with him in London some months back, and he was talking about the project. And I said, well, if you're talking about safety, why don't you put my leg in there? And he said, actually, that's not a bad idea. And he went off to the curators of the museum, and they said, great, we'll take it. So it was packed up in bubble wrap and sent off to Manchester. And to see it there on Thursday at the opening of the exhibition in a glass case alongside John Simpson's burqa and Martin Bell's white suit was quite a strange experience.
It happened to you, of course, quite early in your career, didn't it? You know, when you look at it, there must be regrets, might ifs, you know, that something like that happened to you very young.
It did. I was about 31 or 32 when it happened. So I was sort of on the upward curve, if you like, of my career. And it was a very scary time for me. I didn't know whether I was going to be able to continue doing the work that I loved doing. I didn't know what the future held for me. I didn't know whether I was going to be able to walk again. Thankfully, I have been able to continue my career. I have been able to walk again and have a family and live a very normal life. But yeah, I mean, it was a very difficult time, and I think what it did was bring home to me and bring home to other journalists just how much of a lottery really war reporting can be. You can go on all the courses you want, you can do all the safety precautions that you want, you can wear a flak jacket, you can be very careful. But if it's your day and your number's up, then something can go wrong, and all the preparation in the world can't always stop that from happening. So I think anybody who works in a war zone, and friends that I talk to, they say, you know, they walk out of the door in the morning and you know, they cross their fingers or say a prayer and hope they're going to come back in one piece at the end of the day.
And when you see pictures from Benghazi, Misrata, Syria or wherever, do you view them differently to the way that we would view them, or that you would have viewed them before what happened to you happened?
I think I probably do. I think I'm much more aware of the real people who are behind the story. I mean, you see the pictures on the news, but behind every picture you see on the news, there's not only the correspondent, there's producers, cameramen, fixers, translators, a whole team of people responsible for getting the news on the air. And when I see those pictures, obviously a lot of the people gathering those pictures are my friends, and I'm very mindful of the risks that they're taking and very concerned for their safety.
As are we all. Stuart Hughes, thank you very much. Sunday Supplement is up for another week after the news, all things considered. Good morning to you.